The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Meyer.
Ambassador David Friedman served as ambassador to Israel under former President Trump from 2017 to 2021. And he joins me right now. He has a book came out just a few weeks ago entitled One Jewish State, The Last Best Hope to Resolve the Israeli-Palestinian Conflict, just released here recently. Ambassador, welcome to the show. Good morning, sir.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks. Great to be with you.
Yeah. Needless to say, by the way, I know this is the story about the exploding pagers and the exploding walkie-talkies with Hezbollah. I know that's not the focus part of your book at this point. Has the Mossad actually admitted to that at this point, or is it just pretty much assumed? How would you play that? That's an interesting way of dealing with it.
Well, you know, they haven't admitted it yet, but it's there's no one on earth other than the Mossad, really, I think, capable of doing this. And most of the Israeli kind of spokespeople have acknowledged that it was Israel without exactly saying it. But no one else could have done it. I mean, they're the ones who would have the capabilities.
You say that that it is time for one Jewish state. This is the premise of your book. In fact, you can find out more about this book and more on onejewishstate.net. One Jewish state, what does that mean, you know, overall? And what is the reasoning that you're bringing to something like this? I know a lot of listeners are supportive of Israel. All the ones have some questions on Zionism, too. Maybe
sure.
Just set the table for us, if you could.
So, look, what we're talking about, you know, Israel has basically sovereignty over most of its territory. But then there's this additional territory we call the West Bank or Judea and Samaria, and on the other side of Israel, Gaza, which is kind of been earmarked for the Palestinians. And Israel's made a number of agreements over the years to kind of set this up for the Palestinians to have their own state in this area. Problem is, the experiments failed. I mean, in Gaza, there hasn't been a Jew living there for 18 years, hasn't been a soldier there until they were forced to come back in October 7th. So, you know, Gaza was, you know, kind of experiment one for a Palestinian state. They got billions of dollars from all over the world. And, you know, they elected Hamas as their leaders, and they took all the money and used it instead of, you know, building infrastructure and roads and highways, and hospitals and schools. They used it to build terror tunnels and weapons of mass destruction. And we have this horrible war today. The other side of Israel, the West Bank, you know, there were the Oslo Accords, where right now about half of the West Bank was given to be run by the Palestinian Authority, which is supposed to be better than Hamas. But in truth, they're really not. They have a very, you know, kind of they have a system in place, a pension system in place, where they incentivize their own people to commit acts of terror to kill Jews. And the more they kill, the more money they get. So they're really no better. And both sides, both of these organizations have done nothing but bring misery to their own people as well as to the Israelis. So my thesis is that, you know, in Israel itself, in Israel proper, 20% of the population already is Arab. The Arabs are citizens of the country. They live well. They've assimilated into the country. They've achieved the highest levels, highest echelons of business and law and commerce and medicine. And so my argument is, well, if you look around the area and you're trying to figure out who's going to run this territory called the West Bank, well, it's not going to be Syria, Lebanon, Jordan, or Egypt because they're all failed states. And the only democracy in the region is Israel. The only first world country is Israel. Israel's GDP per capita is 10 to 20 times higher than all its neighbors. Why not, you know, allow Israel to export its skills and its values into that area and to assert its sovereignty and take over and end this effort to, you know, push a square peg into a round hole by creating a Palestinian state? And kind of the cherry on top for those people who care about it, and not everybody does, but those who care about, you know, about biblical prophecy and about biblical wisdom, you know, I mean, the Bible does sell, I think at last count, it sells like 2,000 copies an hour, you know, so it's still meaningful to people. I wish my book, you know, sold 2,000 copies an hour. The Bible, all the wisdom of the Bible is that the Jewish people will have sovereignty over this land. This land is the most, you know, significant biblical territory anywhere in the world. So, From a theological perspective and a kind of just a regular practical perspective, this book says that Israel should really take over this territory in a way that will bring, you know, dignity and prosperity and security, not just to the Jews in the land of Israel, but to the Palestinians as well.
Now, yeah, you have called then in this book to, if I understand correctly, then for the United States to help pay for Israel, to Israel annexing the West Bank. Would that be fair? So you're looking at that as something. Is that a fair way of looking at that?
No, it's like some reporter decided that that was the way he was going to describe the book, and it's not fair. It's not true. What I'm saying today is the United States is already spending, you know, $1 billion or more in terms of aid, humanitarian aid, other types of aid to the Palestinians in this area. What I'm saying is that we ought to reposition it, because all that money is being siphoned off to corrupt leaders who don't let it go to any of their people. That money should be put into a trust to enable the Palestinians to live a better life. And yes, under Israeli sovereignty, but it wouldn't be, you know, paying Israel to take it over. It would be taking that money and just repositioning it, but always with the goal of helping the Palestinians.
All right. This sounds great for Israel. I can't imagine that your proposal would probably be well-received within the Palestinian world. Would that be a fair assessment, or are there people that are saying, yeah, we'd much rather live under Israel's control rather than the way it's been right now?
Listen, I lived there for 5 years, met a lot of Palestinians. I have no doubt that there are tens of thousands of Palestinian people who would much rather live under Israeli control, and part of it is because they have relatives living in Israel who live under Israeli control, whose lives are way better than the ones living in the Palestinian territory. So I have no doubt that the people themselves would be, at least a large number, would be receptive to this. The people who won't be receptive to it will be the leadership of the Palestinian Authority and Hamas, because their corrupt regimes will end, their control over money will end, and the people will start to get benefits, which has not been one of their concerns. So, look, it's not an overnight process, but it is a process that I think, if we can move the trajectory in this direction, I think we can make the case to the Palestinians, especially by beginning to create better facts on the ground, that actually this is in their best interest.
All right. Now, you say in this book, One Jewish State, that there are already many other states that are religious in nature. 49 Muslim countries, you're pretty much familiar with that, and quite a few Christian, Buddhist, and Hindu countries, but only one Jewish state. So,
right.
Can you have a multi-ethnic one Jewish state, though, and keep any kind of cohesion? Because there's a part of me here, Ambassador, I'd say, hey, listen, you know, if we're going to do this, if we're going to have one Jewish state, I'd actually like to have the United States, you know, be that way, too. But of course, I know that I'd be shouted down, you know, from the rafters.
Sure.
And most of the even countries that are Christian states at this point, let's say UK, look at what's happened. You have the Muslims essentially overrunning government right now, you know, over in the UK.
Right.
And so,
yes,
you know, does there not have to be almost an ethnic quality if you're going to say, hey, we're going to be a Jewish state, or I'm going to be a Christian state, or I'm going to be a Muslim state, et cetera, et cetera? What say you on that?
So look, you could have a national religion and still have a country that provides rights to its minorities. I mean, you know, the UK, before it started to fall apart, you could argue with that. You know, the UK has the national church, the Anglican Church, and you know, Prince Charles was invested in a church with a lot of religious ceremonies, but you know, nobody thinks that, you know, if you're a minority in the UK, you don't get rights. America, of course, is different because we have a constitution that bans a national religion, so it's just not constitutional here. But lots of countries, and you know, look, there are lots of Muslim countries where you'd be very uncomfortable living there if you weren't a Muslim, not the case in Israel.
I'm sure.
So you know, Israel is a Jewish state. It has lots of. It's got the 25% of its population is not Jewish, and they're dying to get into the country and to immigrate because the quality of life there, you know, once this war will end hopefully soon, is so much better than anywhere else. So, you know, my point is this: look, you can, you know, there's two competing arguments. There's a national religion, which Israel has, which lots of countries have, and then what Israel has, which most of these countries don't have, is a provision of its Declaration of Independence, which guarantees human dignity to every citizen, to everybody living there. So you can do both. You can thread this needle. Israel is one of the few places that does thread the needle. look, you can't, you know, there are lots of Muslim countries where, you know, it's just not, it's not possible to be a non-Muslim. And the world doesn't care. Like, my point really is, like, what, the world doesn't care about 40 Muslim states or all these other states that have national religions. It seems that the only place in the world where there is an issue about this is Israel. It's a, it's the only Jewish state. There's never going to be two Jewish states. Israel doesn't have any aspirations to grow more than that. And it's the size of New Jersey, and it's on land as to which, you know, I argue the Jewish people have a better claim of title than any people anywhere else in the world. So the, part of the plea in the book is, you know, can the Jewish people just have this one Jewish state? There's lots of room for everybody else, and even those in the Jewish state who are not Jewish will be treated more fairly than in any other country with a national religion.
Ambassador, that's it. Okay. Yeah. Ambassador, I just wanted to touch on the current event there right now. Supposedly, latest offering of peace with the Gaza conflict right now is that Hamas gives back the hostages and we're going to get a ceasefire. Is that a reasonable term at this point? What would you say?
I think that what Israel offered even more was that Hamas gives back the hostages and they will let Sinwar get free passage out of the country. So they're going to let their, they're going to let this this kind of modern day Hitler leave the country unscathed while in order to get their hostages back. So it's a pretty, it's a pretty generous proposal by Israel. I have no idea what Hamas is going to do about it, but I think we're at a point now where look, the hostages have been there almost a year. They're living under subhuman conditions. You know, who knows how much longer they're going to last or how many more are still alive. So I think Israel's going to do everything it can to get them back, as long as it doesn't jeopardize Israel's security. And this is probably the most generous offer that Israel has agreed to, you know, over the last year.
Well, we'll see. We'll see what comes out of that. Final question then. If President Trump is reelected, do you have the inside track, or would you serve as a second round of ambassadorship?
You know, it's hard to know, because that's up to him, not up to me. And we haven't talked about it, but, you know, look, I had this great, incredible privilege to serve my country for 4 years. And if he offers me another opportunity, of course I'll do it. It's my greatest honor to serve America, especially under his leadership.
Ambassador David Friedman, the book is One Jewish State, onejewishstate.net. We will put all the information up there. Ambassador, I appreciate you taking a few minutes with us this morning about that. Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Bill. Appreciate it, Will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. It is 722. You're on KMED, 99.3 KBXG.
Saudis drop the petrol. Times are changing fast.
And you're waking up with the Bill Myers Show.
726 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. I was just corrected that, Bill, you were saying ethnic. Ethnic. So I guess if I hang on too long on the TH, that it's like I'm mispronouncing it. It's like ethnic. Yeah, sometimes I say Costco, too. I go to Costco. All right. Maybe that's just the Pennsyltucky in me. Some of the East Coast, it still bleeds out there. Ethnic. Yeah, I guess if I don't say ethnic. All right, whatever. If that's the most important thing we have to worry about, I stand corrected. Thank you. 27 after 6 or 7, let's make that Cherry. Hello, Cherry. You want to talk some movies this morning on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. The world is crazy. What's going on with you, huh?
Hey, buddy. You know, it's really hard to find a good movie to watch. I don't watch them very often because they're just all about the same. I think Hollywood, as I said, wants to commit suicide because this movie, you know, it started off, I didn't like it.
Okay.
And I have not seen the other...
Okay, well, first off, before you continue, what's the name of the movie that you didn't think you would like?
I was getting to that place.
Okay.
It's called A Quiet Place.
A Quiet
Place. Now, I haven't seen all the other ones. There's a whole bunch, and I thought, you know, but I saw this, and the only thing I could think about was the cat. There was a cat in it, and I really hate it when they put animals or kids in this stuff, because nothing good comes out of it. But I will say it had a great ending. I won't say what it is, obviously, but it was a very, very great, it was a really good, suspenseful, amazing movie. And the only problem is it's called A Quiet Place because there was no audio And no, you couldn't even see it. I was watching a black screen, basically, with captions underneath it, silence or boom or something like that. And
well, you've complained about this, is that so much of what we're dealing with right now, when it comes to the sound level that's being used in most movies, way too loud, and they mix sound effects and explosions so loudly that it tends to drown out dialogue, right? That's one complaint that we've had before here. And then on top of it, in order to make things moody, the cinematographers make everything so dark that you can't see what's going on. I don't know. What could go wrong with such a formula, Cherry? Okay.
Well, there was no lighting or audio.
Uh-huh.
So it was basically a silent movie with no picture. But
how much did you pay to see this? I'm just curious.
It was free from Dish. Well, I get.
Well, it was the right price then, okay? The right price.
But it was, you got to see it because it was good. It turned out to be really good, not just kind of good, but in the beginning it wasn't.
All right.
It kind of dragged a little, but it was, and it had that actress, Lupita Nyong'o.
Okay.
I can't think of her last name.
All right. Well, we'll take that then as a thumbs up. Now, you wanted to know what's going on with Charlie, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, one thing that that we've done is that, Charlie replaced, nothing's ever going to replace Chester. Chester died a few months ago, right? And little Charlie, he started off as 2 pounds of mayhem. He's now about 6 pounds of mayhem, probably and he never stops eating. He's just like, I'm going to get as big as Matt, the 14-year-old elder cat, right? I'm going to get big really quick. And he is he's actually caused Matt to lose some weight because they're chasing each other around and playing now. And it didn't used to be, for a while there, Matt was just pulling out the big old slap-o, his Maine Coon paw, and just like whack, him across the head. Shut up, Junior. Get out of the way. Get out of my face. But they're now pretty good buddies. Pretty good buddies now.
That's so great.
But here's the deal. Charlie is so food-centric. Even when we first brought him here, I don't know if he was when he was at the shelter or the people who had the cat that gave birth to him in the shelter or whatever it is, that I don't know if he never had enough food when he was a little tiny kitten. He was the runt. He was literally the runt. And it's like when he first came to our house, he would sit there and purr and do this kind of like just like, I am so thrilled to be eating kind of dance around the food dish. And he would do that for a while. He doesn't do that anymore. But still, he is so frantic and food-centric that I'll have these little cat treats. You know those cat treats you squeeze and it puts the goo out on the little tube?
Yep.
You ever see those things?
Oh, yeah.
Well, both Matt and Charlie love these. And I have to give Matt his and put it on a little plate down below. And I take the one-third of the tube, let's say, or maybe a fourth of the tube. And if I don't put Charlie up and hold him, he'll just eat all the food before Matt can even get to it. That's how food-centric Charlie is. That's what I'm dealing with right now, okay?
Oh, that is so cute. But wait till he gets fussy and he doesn't eat anything you put out, no matter what brand it is.
Yeah, well, we'll see how that ends up working. But now, the song that we use for him now, does anybody remember that Shelly Hack ad from the late 1970s? I think Shelly Hack was in Charlie's Angels, like a replacement for one of the people. And I forget, I didn't watch that show, but remember the Charlie perfume commercial?
I'm not sure.
Okay, we changed it around. There's the cat who's always hassling Matt, and we call him Charlie,
Now I remember.
Do you remember that now? Kind of like a jazz thing. So that's what we do with Charlie. So there's the Charlie update. Haven't done one for a few weeks here, Cherry. Okay?
Thank you, dear. Did I tell you there's a cat in this movie? And I was so distracted by that I couldn't even breathe. But luckily, the ending is fantastic.
So the cat is not harmed in the movie, right?
That is correct.
All right. Thank you very much. Great hearing from you. 770-5633. It's open phones. It's Conspiracy Theory Thursday. And I don't know. After talking with the ambassador the former ambassador to Israel, David Friedman. Of course, he wants one Jewish state. He wants one Jewish state. A question I've always wanted to pose the listeners. I know that we have focused on, of course, being this multicultural stew. And do you think the United States would be better off as a Christian state rather than going around and claiming that we go about having Christian values and then lots of abortion, lots of transgender sort of stuff, lots of drugs, all sorts of other things? You ever any kind of thought about that? And even the ambassador says, well, we here in the United States, we have a constitution. Well, there's so many other things that have been changed these days or ignored about the constitution. What about that having state religions? Would you be okay with that? I know that that Israel, of course, is looking to expand its influence. That's what they're looking to do and take over there in the Middle East. Of course, I really don't know how the people who are living in those lands on the West Bank right now will take that. There's all sorts of things on my mind. We can dig into that if you want. Sometimes the Israeli and Arab conflict just kind of makes my eyes glaze over, but I do find that interesting. I would find that interesting. It's like, did we go wrong by all of a sudden saying that we weren't going to have a state church or a state religion? Maybe worthy of discussion, maybe not. 7:35, before we go to the news, we'll talk about that and more. Hello, this is Bill. Who's this?
Hello, this is Mark.
Mark, what's going on?
Two questions. One, how did testing the water turn out?
I haven't tested the water. Why?
Oh, okay.
I haven't. So you gathered the water. You wanted me to pay to have it tested? Okay.
I didn't know if you were going to. I didn't have the money to do it. So anyway.
Okay.
End of story.
Well, I'll see if I can get it over to. How much of a water test do we need on it, though? Because a regular water test just for well contaminants probably wouldn't be right, would it? Wouldn't we need more than that?
I think there's a ton of heavy metals in all that stuff. So.
Okay. I don't know if the
anyway.
Grants... I'll tell you what. I'll call up the Grants Pass Water Lab and find out how much it costs. Okay? We'll do that.
Okay. And
yeah, because as far as I'm concerned... Here, hang on just a second, Mark. All right? Just hold on.
Okay.
I'll be right back. Give me a second, folks. Won't take long. Okay. All right. Getting back. I was just going around the... around my desk here, my studio desk, and it was just holding up the Klamath River water, which I still left it. I've let it sit for the last few days. It does clear up a little bit, but it never gets clear, ever, no matter how long you let it sit.
Ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But remember,
anyway,
Mark, and here, I'll turn it upside down, and that's all the clay and sediment that was in the water at this point. You know that the magic fish that the tribes are praying will be coming back are going to love this kind of river water when it's coming down to them. You know that, right?
Yeah, they're going to get like 5 miles up the river and croak.
Pretty much. But I guess it doesn't matter if the fish actually keep dying. What matters is that the federal government hot checks, subsidy checks keep coming in for the KRRC people or contractors that are working out there on habitat restoration. Let me use some... scary air quotes. It's kind of like, it's kind of like for the professional arsonists in the collaboratives. How about that, right? Same sort of thing. Well, as long as we keep writing hot federal checks and you go out and you burn the forest instead of harvesting the forest, then, hey, we have an industry, right? There we go.
Yeah.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. This is the Bill Myers Show.
We're here with Susan, who had her well drilled by Clouser Drilling. Susan, what made you...
It's a discount. 72 monthly payments, $15,000 financed. All financing on approved credit before credit. See you for more details.
Hi, I'm Matt Stone, owner of Stone Heating and Air, and I'm on 106.3 KMED.
Stock market going nuts. Gold and silver also going up. Silver up 3% this morning. Gold's up about 1%. Gold's at 25.82. Was it 26.12 this morning? Silver at $31. $31 at last check this morning here. Jay Austin & Company, gold and silver buyers, not too late. Gold is actually indicating a couple of things, in my opinion. And I know one of them is that the Fed cutting interest rates, that's not going to help inflation matters. They're claiming that inflation is cooling, but you take a 0.5%. They were all expecting 0.25%. That the fact that they did a 0.5% is indicative that there's a bit of panic going on in the Fed. I know the other world banks were looking for an interest rate cut. They were looking for this too, because the high interest rates, relatively speaking, in the United States are a problem for other central banks too. So there's a lot of politics involved in this. But I also think that they're cutting into a developing recession right now. In fact, the recession may have already been going on for a while. So that's kind of how I'm seeing this. So more stagflation, inflation, and stagnation. Get some gold and silver and preserve some wealth, too. And think about that with Jay Austin in Ashland, 1632 Ashland Street in Ashland, 6th and G in downtown Grants Pass. And they don't recommend the gold IRAs because when things go pear-shaped in the federal government over the years, they could come after it at some point. What you end up having in 401ks. Better to preserve wealth in something that the government is not necessarily knowing where it is. That's what Jay Austin thinks, and I tend to agree with him. Jay Austin and Company in Ashland and Grants Pass, fortunereserve.com. Let me go to David, who is also in an unknown bunker someplace in Ashland. We appreciate you being here, David. What's on your mind?
Well, it's Dan.
Dan, pardon me. D-A, no, still no got me, okay? Thanks, Dan.
No worries. I wanted to give a shout-out to a new movie that's out in the theaters right now. Mm-hmm. If you are thinking about it, I would definitely go see Am I a Racist by Matt Walsh.
I talked with Matt about that last week, and I haven't had a chance to go hit it. Give me your overall take on that, please, Dan.
It is hilarious. I haven't laughed so hard in a movie in memory ever.
Really?
It will get you almost up off your seat. It is so funny. And the rest of the people in the audience felt exactly the same way. We were all just rolling practically in the aisles. It is hilarious.
What's an example of a scene? I heard that at some point they got Robin DiAngelo, you know, the person who is one of those race pimps out there, you know, who's working the racket. One of the anti-racist types to actually pay for someone that Matt brought by. Can you tell us? Did you see that? Was that in the movie? I heard it was.
Well, every one of the people that he interviewed had huge price tags to be able to talk about their particular specific flavor of racism and how it can be changed, controlled, modified. And how, you know, it's one right after the other. They're all doing it for money.
Uh-huh.
It's a big racket.
Working the racket. Okay.
Yes.
And this was the one. I know there's that one woman, I forget her name, who goes out there, and she's a white woman, goes out and puts on these dinners. And we have white liberals that pay just huge money to go out there and go to her dinners, and then she yells at them about how racist they are. Did he talk with her by chance?
That was a hilarious set, just hilarious. In the process, he's a waiter in that dinner.
He got into it as a waiter. Oh, I love it. They didn't recognize him, huh?
And then hijacked it. It is just absolutely hilarious. Probably predominant people on white fragility. He got an interview with her.
Yeah, that's D'Angelo, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. And he brought in one of his coworkers who is black and paid him reparations at the interview. And then she got up and decided she needed to pay reparations too and gave him $30. Yeah, it will just make you roll in the aisle practically. It is so funny.
So you'll give that two thumbs up from what I'm hearing, right, Dan?
Oh, two thumbs and two toes. It is awesome.
All right. Well, thank you. Because so not only are you making a not only is he making a point, you know, about the racket involved here, but the fact that it's entertaining. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. Thank you so much.
He did a great job. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Dan. 7:47. So there we go. There's the recommendation for this weekend. I'm always looking for a laugh because, boy, if you aren't laughing right now at the absurdness of the United States of America or the absurdities of the United States of America, then you're crying. And we don't want to cry, do we? This is the Bill Myers Show. 7:47 at KMED, 99.3 KBXG. Diner 62, Real American Quiz. Let's do that right now at 770-563-3770-KMED. And if you haven't won this in the last 60 days, you can win this next. We have some great history that we're going to talk about. It's some wonderful food over at Diner 62. I'll tell you more about that here in just a bit. But let's see if we can get you a $20 gift certificate, have a little fun, learn a little history. Next.
When Paul Simon released the song Slip Slop,
106.3 KMED. This is the Bill Maher Show on 106.3 KMED.
11 before 8, Diner 62. If you have not been to Diner 62, what's wrong with you? All right, head out there. Remember, Clam Chowder Friday's tomorrow. So good you'll hear the surf and seagulls. And by the way, they have a big special going on, which is two pork chops and eggs or an 8-ounce New York steak and eggs on special right now on the weekends. And those amazing, juicy third-pound burgers. They sent me a Diner 62 burger last week and onion rings. You know, if there's a place, if anybody remembers that old movie, in which when you would die, it was a Meryl Streep movie, right? You know, you die and you go to Judgment City or whatever it is, and you could eat whatever you wanted. I would want the Diner 62 burger with the onion rings as one of those things when you're in between earth and heaven, right? You know, I thought that was great. What was that movie called? It's a great movie. Meryl Streep and Albert Brooks, I want to say. Anybody remember that one? It's been a long time since I've seen it, but yeah, that's one of the places I want to be able to eat as many Diner 62 burgers as I want and not gain an ounce, but good stuff. All right, let's head to the phones, and David is here. Morning, David.
Hello, how are you, Bill?
I'm doing well. David, it was today in history that Khrushchev was barred from visiting Disneyland. September 19th, 1959. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev explodes with anger when he learns that he's not allowed to visit Disneyland. The incident marked the climax of Khrushchev's day in Los Angeles, one that was marked by both frivolity and tension. It started pleasantly enough, David, with a tour of 20th Century Fox Studios, and then the Soviet premier taken out to the soundstage for the movie Can-Can, immediately surrounded by the cast of the film, including Shirley MacLaine and Juliet Prowse. MacLaine greeted Khrushchev in broken Russian, and they attempted to engage the premier in an impromptu dance. And Khrushchev jovially begged it off and then stood by while the cast members performed from the film. So, also an unofficial master of ceremonies was brought in by 20th Century Fox to host the visit of Khrushchev. So the question was, who was this person? Who was the master of ceremonies here for Khrushchev? Was it A, Frank Sinatra, B, Irving Berlin, C, Joan Rivers, D, Isaac Asimov, or E, Yul Brynner, or D, rather, Yul Brynner? What do you think?
I was going to say Eddie Albert, but he isn't on there. Number one.
You're going to say number one, Frank Sinatra, really?
Yeah.
You think Frank Sinatra was involved with hanging out with Khrushchev? Really?
I don't know. I hope so I get some free food.
Yeah.
You're a winner!
It was the chairman of the board. Khrushchev.
Wow.
I know. You got it. Khrushchev, here's the backstory, though. Khrushchev arrived in the U.S. September 15th for an extended visit. Soviet leader indicated the desire to see Hollywood, so he ends up doing this, right? Frank Sinatra brought in to serve as the master of ceremonies, and he later lunched with an obviously delighted Khrushchev, because this is a big deal. Even then, everybody loved Frank Sinatra in those days. Now, things started to unravel, though, when the president of 20th Century Fox, Spyros Skouras, introduced Khrushchev at L.A. Town Hall. And almost immediately, Skouras, who was an ardent anti-communist, irritated Khrushchev by referring to the premier's famous statement that Russia would bury capitalism. And Khrushchev got more angry when he learned that he would not be allowed to visit Disneyland, and the government authorities feared that the crowds would pose a safety hazard. And he was still fuming about that debate later with Skouras. He exploded when he was denied Disneyland. And I say, I would very much like to go to see Disneyland, comrade, but then we cannot guarantee your security, they say. Then what must I do? Commit suicide? What is it? Is there an epidemic of cholera there or something? Or have gangsters taken hold of your place that can destroy me? You know, I never heard about that part. Did you? Did you, David?
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So he was so irritated. And of course, now Khrushchev would be welcomed by Disneyland and go, oh, communism and wokeism, we'll be fine with it. Come on, here. Here. Have you seen our LGBTQ section? You know? Yikes. But anyway, Dave, we're gonna send you to Diner 62, and you hang on. I'll be right with you, okay? And get your address and have a lot of fun. Open phones now, 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Join Scotty McCreary on his Fall of Summer Tour.
That's 770-KMED.
757. The lovely Lynn is here. Hello, Lynn. How are you today? It would help if I pushed the button and brought you on here, Lynn. I thought that the phone system was psychically connected to me, and I'm sorry. The Neuralink from Elon Musk has not been installed yet. So anyway, it's on your mind.
Well, I wanted to recommend a movie since we're talking movies this morning.
Yeah, it just sort of seemed to happen organically. Yeah. That's all right. What do you think?
Well, last night I went to the Varsity Theater in Ashland and watched the third installment of Vaxxed. The first one also was at the Varsity, very controversial a number of years ago, talking about the fraud at the CDC and the MMR vaccine. But this one, they've had a bus going around the whole country taking people's stories of injury, vaccine injury. And this one covered the COVID vax. And it also covered the hospital protocols, which really murdered so many people. And then, and how people were kept in the hospital and how sometimes a heroic medical, a nurse or someone would figure out a way how to sneak someone out of the hospital before they got killed with the vents and the remdesivir. And at the very end, they touched a bit on the childhood vaccine schedule, but it's really well done, top doctors talking about it, and it's hard to watch, but kind of inspiring at the end. And you can watch it for free online October 4th. I think it's 7 o'clock. I'm not sure what time period. But you can go to Children's Health Defense. Just search Children's Health Defense Vaxxed 3, V-A-X-X-E-D.
All right, good.
I really want people to see it and share the news, because if there's anyone who's questioning, this is an important film for them to see. It won't help them if, you know, they're locked down in their ideology. But for anyone who is wondering what the heck was that, it's really well done.
All right. I appreciate the suggestion. I wanted to bring your attention, and I read Lou Rockwell every day, not always before I get a chance to go on the air. But one of my favorite Substacks, and I would love to find a way to interview whoever this doctor is, and it has to do with the Midwestern doctor, the forgotten side of
fantastic.
Medicine.
Fantastic. I get his Substack.
You get his Substack, too. Okay, great. Well, Lou Rockwell ended up profiling or premiering one of his articles called What Happens When a Hospital Vaccine Injures You. Now, this is a doctor who is apparently known within his field and a very good doctor, and he writes voluminously on...
They're loaded with details and links and notes. You know, it's hard to get through them all.
Yeah, they are. They are. But it's well worth your time sometime. And the one they profiled today had to do with what he terms medical blindness, in which you have people that are so wedded to the safe and effective conversation that's come out of the vaccine pharmaceutical industry that even when there are obvious connections with a shot that was given, that the doctors refused to see it. And they're now starting to raise this just to get doctors to take the blinders off here. The example that this particular doctor ended up bringing up had to do with flu shots being given. And you had patients that were going into kidney failure almost immediately after it.
Yeah.
And this is down in Southern California, I believe, and talking about the challenges of getting doctors to say, no, wait a minute. They would never look at the vaccine. They would say, oh, well, they got the flu. That's why their kidneys failed. And it's like,
because they don't, they're so propagandized that they know that vaccines don't do that. I mean, this is what happened to me with my child in the emergency room. Well, we don't know what this is, but we know the vaccines didn't do it, even though she got seven at one time and it was 9 days later.
But yeah, what I found interesting is that this doctor also said that had it been another pharmaceutical drug like statins that had just been given, then they would have said, hey, oh, wait a minute, there's a problem with this statin, and we shouldn't do this because it caused kidney failure on this person, right?
Right.
And yet, but vaccines are now encouraged to be given practically to all people going into the hospitals because Obamacare ended up encouraging this under the wellness programs that they came up with.
And it's just like taking water. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I mean, it's really bad. And I want to point out something about the kidney failure.
Yes.
Suzanne Humphreys is a nephrologist, or was a practicing nephrologist, I think in Maine somewhere.
And by the way, that article was quoting a nephrologist who was a kidney doctor. That's
probably Suzanne Humphreys. And she wrote a book, Dissolving Illusions, mm-hmm. which is maybe 10 years old or more. And I never got around to reading it. And I borrowed it from a friend. And oh, my goodness, I wish I'd read it because I would be completely anti-vax. This has been going on since the 18th century. Governments mandating dangerous inoculations. It began with smallpox. And what happened was the governments would mandate it. Of course, they didn't have the power they do now, so it'd usually be in a city or something.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a city in London, Leicester, that refused to make people take the smallpox inoculation at that time, which was very crude. And they practiced, quarantining and this sort of thing. And they did so much better than anybody else. The inoculated populations got smallpox much more, and it was much more deadly to them.
The other aspect that they're now finding, not that I'm trying to hurry you along, I'm just out of time, all right? But I wanted to make sure and get this point in before you take out, because I'll look into that. They're now starting to think that a lot of the polio, reduction in polio, has been accomplished by public health and safety and sanitation.
All the infectious diseases, it's been in that. Suzanne Humphreys in her book proves it. She's got all the details in there. And by the end of it, you're like, well, of course that's why the infectious disease rates went down. And there's a connection with polio and DDT. And DDT was very, I mean, they were literally spraying it on people about the time of the polio epidemics. And so you can look into that as well. So there's just a lot more to this, but the vaccines have not been a public health boon. They've actually caused a lot more harm than they've helped.
Yeah, so. And maybe we'll have doctors starting to look more critically at this stuff over the years. I don't know, but not if we're going to have everybody working
for doctors in the movie that are saying, I've totally changed my mind on vaccines. So it's happening.
I just want doctors to be doctors. That's all.
Exactly.
I want doctors to be doctors, not robots accepting protocols from the CDC and the federal government. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's
where we're at. Okay. Thank you so much. Appreciate the review here. 4 minutes after eight. And by the way, the article I was talking about with the nephrologist, and it's one of the best Substacks out there. It is deep reading, though, at times. And I can't read everything he puts out, but it's by a Midwestern doctor, The Forgotten Side of Medicine, the latest one up on lewrockwell.com today, LEWROCKWELL.com. Hope you got that, okay? Maybe I'll put a link to it on my Bill Myers Show blog today, too. 4 after 8, this is KMED, KMED HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG Grants Pass. John O'Connor, former federal prosecutor, joins me. Are they leaking a bunch of crap out of the Supreme Court to destroy Justice Roberts and the institution? The story hasn't been getting a lot of play recently. I wanted to give it some love coming up. We'll talk with John about it.